Cause the goyim know.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, so it is 1:04 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 97 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 39% humidity. It's Oy Vey Friday, folks. We're going to tell some jokes, play some songs, and maybe learn a thing or two. We'll get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Try to laugh about it, fill their news networks with lies. I try to laugh about it, hiding the Zog from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Goys don't cry. I would tell goyim I hate them, but a victim I can't play. While I scream about the bars of soap, gas chambers, and lampshades, I try to laugh about it, dumb down the goy with fluoride. I try to laugh about it, hiding the hoax from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Gray white phosphorus onto Palestinian kids. Donate to AIPAC. Have a mitzvah. Go fight in Iraq. Play at the Wailing Wall. We control the media, Hollywood, and the porno biz. Keeping the goyim distracted with our bread and circuses. Cause goys don't.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
All right, welcome back, folks. It's another Oy Vey Friday, and we're just going to get it kicked off with a few jokes here. Okay, so let's get started. How was the Grand Canyon formed? A Jew dropped a penny down a gopher hole. Why did the Jew soundproof his house? So his kids couldn't hear the ice cream truck. All right. A Jewish boy asked his father for $20. His father replied, "Oi, $10? What in the world do you need $5 for? I'd be happy to give you a dollar. Here's a quarter." All kidding aside, Jewish people are some of the most optimistic people in the world. They have some cutoff before they even know how big it will get. All right, so we're going to get the program going with a clip from a woman named Carolyn Glick. I'll give you a short little bio on her. Carolyn Glick is an American-born Israeli journalist, newspaper editor, and writer. She writes for Makor Rishon and is the deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post. She is also a senior fellow for Middle East Affairs of the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Security Policy. So we're going to go ahead and get her video queued up. It's called Why the Jews? Carolyn Glick explains the roots of genocidal Jew hatred. And I'll warn you, she's a Zionist right-wing gatekeeping propagandist nutcase. So you might hear a few things that might upset you. So let's get it rolling.
Good morning, everybody. It's really always a pleasure to come to Restoration Weekend and see so many great people to enjoy your company and realize that none of us are alone, that we're part of something great and big and powerful. And every time I come out of here, I feel energized. And so thank you all for coming and energizing me and making me feel like, okay, Barack Obama doesn't have my back, but you do. So, all right. The genocidal axis. So I just want to look at it from. I was laughing with Eric I'm sorry, Mike, at the title of our panel. I said the genocidal axis. So is this like a pro-con thing? Like, you know, am I supposed to take the pro side and Robert's going to be against it, or you know, how exactly am I supposed to be looking at this? And so. But really, I don't feel so much about talking specifically about the ideology of Islamic anti-Semites or genocidal Jew haters or European or leftist people who want to destroy Jewish power and make us all needy and begging for our very lives with all of these wonderful commissars of the left. What I wanted to is to try to talk about what it is that all of the enemies of the Jewish people basically throughout the ages share. Because one thing about the genocidal axis is that it's not new. It's been here throughout time. And the members of the genocidal axis may change their accents. They may change the books that they read. They may change a million different things, the continents they live in. But one thing that they share across time is that over and over and over again, the target of their genocidal bloodlust are the Jews. Yes. Always. Always. I remember Benzio Netanyahu, Bibi's father, who passed away at the age of 102 about a year ago. He and I developed a friendship over the years, and repeatedly, because he was 102 when he died, he said the same things over and over again. And one of the things that he told me over and over and over again, with the same impassioned anger, was that he could not stand the fixation on the Holocaust as some sort of singular moment in global history, because there has been a Holocaust of Jewry in every generation throughout the ages. That the same passions that inflamed the Germans and then spread out throughout Europe with this bloodlust of wanting to kill children like mine was due to a passion that moves through the ages, that there was nothing unique about that desire to shoot lead into Jewish babies. Nothing unique about it. It has been going on since the time of the Greeks and the ancient Egyptians and Pharaoh. Just read the Bible. What is he talking about? He wants to annihilate a people. It's not he wants to enslave them. He wants them gone. Out. What's the difference between Pharaoh and Hitler? Technology? That's it. Now, we have to understand, what is that unifying force between Pharaoh and Ahmadinejad and Rouhani? And yes, the international left that is the handmaiden of these monsters of the Islamic world, without which they could never, ever march even one step forward. It is the rejection of reason. Benedict XVI talked about it in his speech in Regensburg that caused rioting throughout the Islamic world and the murder of nuns and other unfortunate non-jihadists that happened to find their way in the path of all of the angry Muslims, who were angry because the Pope had talked about Islam's rejection of reason. Which is, of course, hilarious, but not if you were in their path. And what is it, really, about reason and about choice and about the notion of moral choice and moral empowerment of individuals that stands at the root of a genocidal bloodlust against the Jews? And the answer is that from time immemorial, Judaism has been based from the time that God first spoke to Abraham in Iraq and told him to leave his father's home after Abraham took down the idols in his father's store, broke them. Get thee to the land that I have promised to you and your children. What was it about Abraham that God embraced at that time and about the Jews in every single generation since then that drives people bananas? It is the idea of good and evil. It is the idea that we as human beings have the responsibility to make a discernment between good and evil and to choose good in our lifetimes. And it is to look to the forefathers of the Jewish people to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are our forefathers, who we define ourselves as being their children in all of our prayers from time immemorial until today, the choices that they made, the God that they defined and believed in, that has defined us as a holy people, as a chosen people, is because we accept not divine salvation, but the notion of a life of hard choices, of constantly making that decision and loyalty to a notion that it is our responsibility to do so. And that drives people to genocidal bloodlust, because at the root of this bloodlust is a rejection of reason. It's a rejection of individualism. It's a rejection of responsibility. It's a rejection of the notion that we have to be good.
Bullshit.
Because that makes our lives a struggle. That makes our lives difficult. And, you know, I shared a podium several years ago. I had the honor of sharing a podium with Robert Oman, the Israeli Nobel Economics Laureate. And he described the passage in the Bible of Jacob struggling with the angel of God. And what Jacob did, he fought with him all night long. And he injured him, and the angel wanted to go away. And Jacob said, "You can't go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go. You bless me. You embrace me. You embrace my choice. You reject your choice. And until you do that, you can't go. I don't care how you're bloody, you're this. I'm holding on to you. Bless me." And he did. And he blessed him. And the idea was that he was forcing this angel as well to make that decision. People don't want to. Now, what was it that made the United States the only country to date that didn't have the same genocidal Jew hatred at the root of its identity that we saw in country after country in Europe, that we see in the Arab world? It was that the United States, its forefathers, had this idea that was based on the Torah, of a rule of law, of limited government, of the responsibility of individuals to make that decision between good and evil, and to choose good and to have the liberty from government to be able to make that choice. You know, the whole concept of the modern state is based upon the philosophical works of men like John Selden and John Locke, Thomas Hobbes, who were Hebrew scholars, who based their whole concept of a modern state that these men put together on the rule of law, on divine law, meaning that man could not be a totalitarian because we are not God, meaning that there was no way you could not question authority because men are imperfect. And therefore, if you have a man who is your ruler, he cannot be perfect because he's not God. And that was the whole concept of limited government. The whole concept of a modern state was based on the Hebrew Bible. And it was transported from the British Enlightenment to the New World through the American forefathers, founding fathers. And it was the basis of all the institutions of checks and balances and limited government in this country, and of communalism as opposed to a central church, a hierarchical church. And what do we see today? Why is it that we see more and more and more Jew hatred and attacks on Jews in U.S. universities, in political circles on the left? Because the left in the United States is introducing an ideology that is fundamentally un-American, that is based upon a totalitarian idea of a governing power that is absolute, that knows better than an individual what's good for him or her. And if you know better than I do what's good for me, what's good for my children, then you're an absolute power, right? And if you are an absolute power, you have to reject Jews. Because absolute powers must reject Jews, who understand that there's no such thing except God, and by the way, you're not him.
Oy vey. Oy vey. Oy gewalt.
Now, I don't know if the fact that Eric is like tearing little pieces of paper and kind of sending those vibes, but I'm just going to, I notice I have peripheral vision, I do. I'm a mom. I could probably see you back there if you were doing something, but to conclude, we are faced with this wave because the strength of people in this room, unfortunately, outside this room, seems to be waning. And the wave that is rising throughout the world is a wave of hatred, of bloodlust, of totalitarianism. And again, this is familiar. This is known. We understand what we're dealing with. The new thing in this generation is that we see the Americans confused for the first time about what side they're supposed to be on. We see that there is a question about, is Israel evil for standing up, for existing, for being different from all of its unaesthetic, misogynistic, totalitarian neighbors? Are we bad for being loyal to everything that we've stood for 4,000 years? How can you question that? Because Americans are beginning to question what it means to be an American, or not even understand it. And that is why, at the end of the day, fundamentally, the issues of health care and of welfare in general that are being discussed in the Democratic forums and panels that have been going on here and throughout this country are integrally linked with the panels about foreign policy and Iran and the Palestinians that we hear in this weekend and throughout, at least in conservative circles today, because it's all about a question of what does it mean to be a human being. And if you come down on that question, understanding that to be a human being means to be a moral agent, not an object, then you're with the Jews. And you're
bullshit.
Opposing totalitarianism, and you're opposing hatred, and you're opposing genocide. And if you come down on that question with, I want somebody else to tell me what to do, I don't know, I'm too weak, I'm too lazy, I'm too uneducated, I'm too ignorant to recognize the meaning of freedom, then you're swayed. You don't care, or you can run around saying, liberate Palestine.
Bullshit.
And that's the question. So I wanted to hawk my book that's coming out on March 4th, just because Mike mentioned that I should always do that because we want it to be a bestseller. But it basically aligns with a lot of the things that I've been talking about this morning and that I talk about every day. It's called The Israeli Solution, and it's directed towards the American audience. And it basically comes out and says, you want a foreign policy that's coherent, that's going to advance American values and interests, stand with Israel.
Bullshit.
You want to figure out how to ensure that America is safe, stand with Israel.
Bullshit.
So thank you very much. Have a great day.
Oy vey. Oy vey. Oy gewalt.
All right, so that was Caroline Glick, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason that I presented this is propaganda meant for the Jewish people. This is the type of propaganda the Jewish quasi-elite, upper-middle class are hearing and being subjected to. It's very paranoid. There's a lot of truth. There's about 50-50 truth and bullshit. So if you're emotionally involved with what she's talking about, I imagine this type of speech can win you over. But I find it most interesting because when she talks about individuality and free speech and standing against government and all these different things, if that's the case, how could she be anti-BDS? And she is. When you go to Caroline Glick's page on the Jerusalem Post, it's jpost.com, you're going to find all of her articles, and she is very anti-BDS. So how can you promote freedom in saying all this American law was birthed out of the Torah and all this horse shit, and at the same time be anti-BDS, which is people on an individual basis or in a communal basis deciding where to spend their money and who to do business with and who to let speak at their campuses or whatever. I mean, that's our choice as individuals. So anybody that wants to restrict our choices is an enemy of freedom, and this woman definitely is. I was hoping I could get her bio after the break, but we'll just go ahead and start her right now. Actually, is there any callers I wanted to come up real quick? Okay.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. I can't stop it.
Yeah, me either. I wish I could, though.
I found that, the speech quite interesting. You know, Israel isn't evil. You know, they look back in the past, and what they don't talk about is the genocides committed through the ages, I mean, back in the ancient times by the Israelites. You know, people get confused. I was raised in a Protestant church, and, you know, I wouldn't talk to hate nobody. The Jews taught me to hate them. I was taught that, you know, that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus wasn't no Jew. Jesus wasn't a Hebrew. If the book that they're bringing this from is correct, he was a god. He was, you know, it's just like putting a fertilized egg in a woman and she gives birth to a baby. But yeah, I mean, that their claim to fame is that, you know, that that they were ordained by their god. A Jew wrote that down. I'm not going to say a Jew or Hebrew. One of them wrote it down. Hey, we're the special people. And, you know, she doesn't give a reference to the real reason the world hates them. Because you say that you're of a higher being and that we're all animals and that you can treat us like animals, and you do treat us like animals. You get into the middleman and everything. You've made yourself a middleman in our government and taken it over through your dual citizenship BS. You have, and you know, when they say they're not evil, I've seen the footage out of the Gaza Strip with little children laying with God, with phosphorus burning through their skin. I mean, what I've been taught, I do hate I hate them. The reason I hate them is because they taught me to hate them. I've seen what they are and what they do. And I mean, you can sit there and try to convince yourself that what you're doing is not evil, but that what my eyes see that for so long they've been able to pull the veil over people's eyes through their propaganda BS supported by Hollywood, you know, the takeover of the airways. But, I mean, this isn't going to cut it. This just shows, like you say, how worried they are, and they have reason to be worried. With what you have done, you deserve to be extinct from this earth, but just by right. And that's all I got to say, brother.
Yeah, they're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they're using their stories and their propaganda to isolate their community from the rest of the people. And on that note, we have to take our break real quick. So here we go.
Kazakhstan. They are Barot and his cowboy Astana band. Give him a nice round of hoot and holler and holler.
This is a song called the Mogzrovich Domovon. It's been in my country, there is a problem. In my country there is problem, and that problem is transport. It takes very, very long, because Kazakhstan is big. Throw transport down the well.
Come on!
So my country can be free. We must make travel easy. Then we have a big party. In my country there is problem, and that problem is the Jew. They take everybody money, they never give it back. Throw the Jew down the well. So my country can be free.
walking by his horns. Then we have a big party. Throw the duel down the well.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
He's a good girl. Loves his mama. Loves Jesus and Israel too. He's a good guy. Wants to bomb Arabs, join the army, just waiting for his cue. And it's a long day living in America. There's illegals running through the yard, and he's a bad guy, 'cause he tried to shoot him. He's a bad guy, 'cause he aimed for their hearts, and now we're bad! Bad guy, yeah! Yeah, we're bad! She's a liberal, wants free health care down at Wall Street. She's holding up a sign, and she's a good guy. Voted twice for Obama, but she's a bad guy for saying free Palestine. And now we're banned! Bad guy, yeah. Yeah, we're bad. Bad guy, yeah.
bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're. Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
I want freedom and cut all the taxes. I think abortion is every girl's right. I want to end the racist war on drugs, but I don't hate that. My skin is white.
And now we're bad. Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Bad goyim.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Yeah, we're bad.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Bad goyim.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're. Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're
bad. Bad goyim.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Bad goyim.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Yeah, we're bad.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Bad goyim.
Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're. Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're. Bad goyim now we're bad goyim now we're.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. All right, it is 1:40 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Bad Goyim, parody of Free Falling. So if you want to find that, just punch that into YouTube. Bad Goyim, parody of Free Falling, which is a Tom Petty song. I'm sure y'all recognize it. I got a kick out of it. It made me laugh. So I got articles I can read. We're going to read the bio of Carolyn Glick. But honestly, if we got callers that are willing to come up, I wouldn't mind spending the second half of the show just chatting. So at any point, feel free to interrupt me. So we're going to read a little bit about the orator that we just heard in the last segment, Caroline B. Glick. So this is coming right off of her website, so it's not biased at all. Okay. I grew up in Chicago's ultra-liberal Hyde Park neighborhood. Hyde Park's most famous resident is Barack Obama.
Bullshit.
I made Aliyah. Okay, I had to look this up. I made Aliyah to Israel. I gotta admit, I've never been hyper-focused on a lot of the details. I'm the type that likes to look at the big picture and look at solutions and all that stuff. So I'm learning right along with you guys as I'm presenting this stuff on air. So I made Aliyah to Israel in 1991. Now, when I was in high school, I dated a girl named Aliyah, and I had no idea that her name actually meant something. Aliyah is the migration of Jews from the diaspora, okay? So let's just define that. Diaspora is a scattered population whose origin lies within a smaller geographical locale. So there's that. So Aliyah is the immigration of Jews from the diaspora to the land of Israel, also defined as the act of going up, that is, towards Jerusalem, making Aliyah. By moving to the land of Israel is one of the basic tenets of Zionism. The opposite action... Well, okay, we don't need to read that. So anyway, that's what Aliyah means, so let's get back to her bio here. I made Aliyah to Israel in 1991, 2 weeks after receiving my BA in political science from another radical liberal stronghold, Columbia University in New York, otherwise known as Berit Zayet on the Hudson. So I imagine that's like some Jew humor there.
Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey.
Oy, Gewalt.
So anyway, this woman pretends to be a right winger. I guess within the Jewish community, they have a right and a left just the same as us, and they get played with the whole divide and conquer politics same as we do. I joined the Israeli Defense Forces that summer and served as an officer for 5.5 years. From 1994 to 1996, as an IDF, that's Israeli Defense Force, captain, I served as a coordinator of negotiations with the PLO in the Office of the Coordinator of Government Activities in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. In the capacity, I was a core member of Israel's negotiating team with the Palestinians. So this woman's been in the thick of it. This woman probably knows exactly what's going on. She's probably, to a degree, an illuminated individual. In 1997 and 1998, I served as an assistant foreign policy advisor to Benjamin Netanyahu during his first stint as prime minister. From 1998 to 2000, I returned to the U.S. for graduate school. I received a master's in public policy from Harvard's University Kennedy School of Government, although I spent most of my free time, blah, 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 who gives a shit. Hold on. It did not escape my attention that much of the faculty at Kennedy School was not particularly fond of America. Alinsky's organizing methods were taught in the required first-year course for MPP candidates, or of Israel. So that's interesting. Saul Alinsky. I don't know. To me, I'm just seeing this whole divide-and-conquer left-right politics thing going on. To me, I think this woman probably knows a hell of a lot more than she ever lets on to her people. Anyway, the latter truth was exposed for all the world to see when my former professor, Steve Walt, co-wrote the updated versions of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion with his friend from my childhood hometown, University of Chicago's John Mearsheimer. Okay, so that's quite interesting. Apparently, this woman has connections to two people who co-wrote the updated version of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. So I found that to be a little bit interesting. You definitely don't read that in everybody's bio on a daily basis. Okay, after I finished graduate school, I returned to Israel and began writing at Makor Rishon newspaper, Hebrew. I served as a chief diplomatic commenter and edited magazine supplements on strategic issues for Makor Rishon until 2007. In March 2002, I accepted the position of deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post. Now, if you haven't gotten the habit of going to the Jerusalem Post, I recommend it. As far as keeping up on what the Israeli nutcases are doing, you can't do much better. As far as the mainstream story that they're going to be putting out, Jerusalem Post is definitely worth your time. Okay. At the Post, I write two weekly columns. These columns are regularly syndicated. My current title is Senior Contributing Editor. During Operation Iraqi Freedom, I covered the U.S.-led war in Iraq and was an embedded journalist with the U.S. Army's 3rd Infantry Division. Reporting for the Post, Mariv, Israel TV's Channel 2, and the Chicago Sun-Times. I was the only female journalist on the front lines with the U.S. forces and the first Israeli journalist to be report from liberated Baghdad. Now, has it really been liberated? I mean, let's look at it. I mean, how many years has it been since 2003, if my memory serves me correctly? So what, we're going on 14 years of liberation in Iraq? Yeah, okay. My writings, which have been published in major U.S. periodicals, journals, and newspapers, and online publications, focus on strategic, cultural, and political issues challenging the Israel and the United States. I don't understand why we have to be tied at the hip with Israel. I don't understand how anybody can justify that. Why should we should be tied at the hip with any foreign government whatsoever, especially one that's trying to fulfill some sort of nutcase Bible prophecy, and somebody that enjoys playing both sides of every argument and poking people in the eye. Like, oh, you're a threat? Well, let me poke you in the eye and see if I can get you to attack me so I can justify slaughtering you. Yeah, I don't want to be teamed up with anybody who conducts their foreign policy in that manner. All right. In 2012, I joined the David Horowitz Freedom Center in Los Angeles as the director of the Center's Israel Policy Project. I remained the Center for Security's Policy Adjunct Senior Fellow for Middle Eastern Affairs. In both capacities, I travel regularly to Washington to brief senior officials and members of Congress on issues of joint Israeli-American concern. So when you start reading this woman's writings, you start looking at some of her more recent speeches. So she's on cloud nine with this whole Trump thing. They're absolutely loving it. So it goes right in line with what she does as far as propaganda, being that she takes the form of a right-wing Israeli nutcase. Okay. All right, and then the rest of her her bio is bullshit, just basically how to contact her and all that. So now I sent this article to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com on August 3rd. This one was coming from the Jerusalem Post, which she is an editor of. And to me, this was more propaganda aimed at the Jewish people, trying to get the Jewish people to go with the Zionist nutcases, you know, the elite bankers, the ones that are pulling all this bullshit in the Middle East. It seems from reading not only this article but previous articles on BDS that their community is fractured, that people within the Jewish community aren't necessarily interested in going along with the nutcases, and they're not interested in letting them have free rein. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this. So when a debate turns into hate, we are sealing our fate. So this is from the Jerusalem Post. Following the removal of the metal detectors from the entrances to the Temple Mount, Rami Hamadallah, Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority, said, "Our nation showed that through steadfastness, nation unity, and peaceful struggle, Jerusalem will remain our eternal capital city and the crown of the identity uniting us. All over the Arab world, nations are uniting against what Jordan's King Abdullah called the Judaization of holy sites in Jerusalem. In downtown Amman, the crowd called on the Arab and Islamic worlds to unify in support of Islam's third holiest site. In Turkey, protests were held in Ankara and Istanbul in solidarity with Al-Qaeda, which I have no idea what that is. Even in Kuala Lumpur, thousands of Malaysian Muslims participated Friday in a demonstration to save Al-Qaeda. That must be the name of, it must be the Rock, which is the name of the temple in Jerusalem where they want to, they basically want to knock it down and rebuild Solomon's temple, that being the Zionists. That the point of the whole Zionism thing is to rebuild the temple. So I'm thinking that Al-Aqsa means the temple of the Rock. We'll see if the article proves it to be true later on. At the same time in Israel, politicians are playing the usual blame game over who made the poor decision to remove the detectors, or who made the poor decision to place them there in the first place. Just as the Arab world uses the opportunity to unite against us, we use every opportunity to split further apart. So I think that's basically the point of this article, is they're trying to scare the Jewish people into coming together. Oh, all the Muslims are coming together. All the Gentiles around the world are coming together. We need you to come together. You know, don't swear off the Zionism nutcase bullshit and start moving towards peace and freedom. No, you need to come together. You need to huddle in even closer with the Benjamin Netanyahu's and the nutcases that want to drop freaking missiles all over the planet. Anyway, just this Tuesday, we commemorated the ruin of both temples of the Ninth of Av. Former chief rabbi of the UK, Lord Jonathan Sacks, said in a video he posted in memory of the ruin of the temple, "We are ferocious arguers, and that's part of our strength. But when it allows us to split apart, then it becomes terribly dangerous, because no emperor on the earth has ever been able to defeat us, but we have on occasion been able to defeat ourselves. Remember, the ultimate basis of Jewish people, of peoplehood, all Jews are responsible for one and another. So I think that, and I don't have a deep understanding of the Jewish people, I'll be honest with you. I think that's a big part of their society, is feeling ostracized and clinging towards the community to be saved. You know, I think that's a big how they operate their power networks. Now, at the same time, if they can convince these Jewish people to believe that the people they're dealing with in the marketplace are only animals, that they're goyim, that they're Gentiles, that they're somehow different, that they aren't as special as them, then that makes it easier for this Jewish community to act like a parasite. And then the more the people get upset about the parasitic activities of the community, the more these people get paranoid and get scared, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm thinking, just from a superficial understanding of what's going on, is this has been a repeating process. They move in, they stay isolated, they take control, everybody around them starts to get pissed, then you have some sort of a holocaust, which to my understanding means burnt sacrificial offering. You have some sort of holocaust where what I would guess would be the middle and lower class Jews get offered up on a platter, while the wealthy Jews take their cash and move on down the road. So let me see if I can figure out where I left off here. Why is it the Arabs can unite and we cannot? What makes us loathe each other so profoundly that many of us prefer to ally with our enemies rather than so much as talk to another Jew who holds a different view? Now, what are they saying by that? I mean, who the hell would ever ally with anybody they consider to be an enemy? So, I mean, just think of that statement. Anyway, peace between two opposites. Rabbi Sacks said arguing is part of our strength, but arguing is more than that. Our entire peoplehood was based on arguments that we conquered with love. Can you believe that shit? Is that what you're seeing going on in Palestine? A conquering with love?
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing them taking armored personnel carriers and putting pumps on the top of them so they can pump sewage all throughout the freaking throughout Palestine, spraying it on people. And these jets are powerful enough to break windows. Okay, they're literally spraying raw sewage on the Palestinians, which would be an act of chemical warfare. Okay, let me see here. King Solomon wrote Proverbs 12:10, hate stirs strife, and love covers all crimes. Love covers all crimes? Does love cover pedophilia? Okay, love covers all crimes. That's new to me. That's a perversion of logic if I ever heard one.
Bullshit.
The book of Zohar writes, Ahir Mot, and apparently that's something in Yiddish, that when friends sit together, first, they seem like men at war, wishing to kill one another. Then they return to being in brotherly love. And continues the Zohar, by your merit, there will be peace in the world. When I sit down with my friends, we don't wish to kill one another. So that's also another bullshit mindset.
Bullshit.
The book Luquidi Estat, Assorted Counsels, adds another aspect to connection that transcends disputes. The essence of peace is to connect two opposites. Hence, do not be alarmed if you see a person whose view is the complete opposite of yours, and you think that you will never be able to make peace with him. Also, when you see two people who are completely opposite to each other, do not say that it is impossible to make peace between them. On the contrary, the essence of peace is to try to make peace above two opposites. Well, I don't know. Generally speaking, I'm a decent human being, and I'd have to say my polar opposite would probably be a total piece of shit. And I'm thinking I wouldn't want to make peace with them. I'm thinking I wouldn't want them in my life at all. And if they decided to force their way into my life, then I might have to make war with them. Okay, I'm not going to make war when I sit down with my best friend, but if there's somebody that's my polar opposite trying to force their way into my life, yeah, I will make war with them. So there's my logic. Anyway, indeed, we Jews are declared a nation only when we are committed to rise above the disunity that was our share in Egypt and unite as one with one heart. Our unity did not come easy. Abraham's first disciples came from distant clans all over Babylon and the Near East. The only thing that held them together was the belief that Abraham's tenet of mercy and love of others was the right way to live. But Abraham's descendants did not keep their unity and ended up in Egypt, where Joseph united them once more. After his death, the Israelites abandoned their unity yet again and said, Let us be as the Egyptians. As a result, the Lord turned the love that the Egyptians held for them into hatred. Had the Hebrews kept their unity in Egypt, they would not have been enslaved. Moses, realizing the absence of unity, was the source of the Israelites' plight, cemented their unity with the pledge to love one another as they loved themselves. This is why Rabbi Akiva said, love your neighbor as yourself is the great rule of the Torah. So they're probably only talking about their Israeli neighbors, right? They're not talking about us Gentiles and us freaking Goyim. By repeatedly overcoming their hatred, the Israeli people developed a unique method of bonding that to this day exists nowhere else. All other nations rely on a minimal level of affinity to forge their peoplehood. Yeah, and these Jewish propagandists have been tearing down our affinity to forge our peoplehood. They have been blocking us every step of the way, and they will not debate us head up. They have to do everything behind the scenes. They have to mess with our view counts. They have to take down our channels. They have to redirect traffic on the web. These people will not face us heads up. And on that note, we're getting close to the top of the hour here. I absolutely enjoyed having all the callers this week. I enjoy having you guys listening. I enjoy doing the show. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and I'll be back on Monday to give you guys some more. Okay, take care, everybody.